Last week we started talking about elementary spiritual warfare. Who remembers what that topic was? Gossiping, correct. With vain imaginations. What is a vain imagination? A vain imagination is any thought that takes our mind off of Jesus Christ and His purposes. Amen? Well, today we're going to continue in this vein. The title of this message is Destroying Fear, Confusion, and Insecurity. This is also contextually in spiritual warfare. When we're operating in untruth, we actually release these spirits to operate in our lives. And it's real important that for the body of Christ, streams of life, all of us personally, we need to operate from what position? Truth. Truth. Not facts. Truth. The world's truth? My truth? God's truth. Absolutely. And that's why He gives us His word. And we remember years ago I used to say, Father, I have Your word and I believe it's true. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do. And I am everything it says I am. Do you believe that? I don't care. Thank you for the warning. That has to be your mantra when you begin to start operating in truth, because you have to agree with God. That's what repentance is. Repentance is agreeing with God and changing your mind, changing the way you think about things. It's real simple, but it's real hard. And it's lifelong. You don't ever stop repenting. 59 years old, I'm repenting. I'm not perfect yet. But when I see Him who is perfect, I'll be just like Him. And so will you. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10. We will be in verses 4 through 6. I'll just pretend that I can make your lives more fuller. I was chastised a little bit today because I had visited the Nolan family Thursday night and I left without giving the kids a hug and saying goodbye, and they were in an uproar. And so they told me today, don't ever leave their house. Little Nolan said to me, he said to me, you will not leave my house without saying goodbye. I said, will you forgive me? I did wrong. I did. But you know what? I am susceptible of just my flesh, you know? So, you know what? We've trained you guys, and these kids are, you know, they're holding me accountable. And all I could do is repent, ask for forgiveness, you know? Because I did do that. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. This is New King James. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Have you ever thought that cat needs to go in? Well, no, he needs to go outside. Have you ever thought what this verse is talking about your weapons? I mean, we think we know about these weapons. We think we have an understanding as to what God's saying. We think that prayer is the weapon. We think that, walking this Christian life in a way of righteousness and in truth is a weapon. But what are these weapons? Have you ever thought about that? What are these weapons? And if we don't use these weapons, what are we susceptible to? Last week I took an old sermon of gossip and put vain imaginations together so you could see how the two work together in our lives when we're doing this and what it releases and how important it is for us to repent. It is very elementary spiritual warfare. Now we're going to take it a little bit step further. Next week we're going to talk about witchcraft. Not Halloween witchcraft. I'm talking about real witchcraft and how it's operating within the church today. Christ has given to us mighty and powerful weapons in order to wage war against the kingdom of darkness. We have no problem with that. Paul states very clearly that our weapons are not weapons of this world. Why? Because those weapons, atomic bombs and bullets and stuff, can only destroy the physical. Jesus warned us that, you know what? If you value your life in this time now, you will lose it in the end. He also said that if you don't care about your life and you live your life as though you're already dead, you will have eternal life. The reason for it is if we do not take His truth to heart, our heart is filled with fear, insecurity, and confusion. It just speaks volumes as to what's going on in your life right now. What is Satan doing in your life? The key element for us is that everything should work for what? What's the one key that we know we're walking this life in Christ? Peace. Everything should be geared to that. Jesus said, I leave you my peace. I give you my peace. Not as the world gives, because they'll give it and they'll take it. They'll throw it down the ground. But we have His peace because we know His truth. And we know His truth cannot deviate from who He is and what He is all about. It will not change. So when we're in His Word, when we have His Word, and we know how to use His Word, we will be able to defeat the enemy every time. What He says for us to do is to use His Word in His name. We sang a song about how powerful His name is. But how many of us believe, I mean really believe, in what He's doing in bringing streams into this apostolic river that we're flowing in? And we're getting onto the log as ants and getting pushed downstream. And we're starting to see this trickle that He's talked about for years now starting to happen. And we have people waiting in the wings, waiting for the doors to open at streams. And everything we can do to expedite this together will open those doors sooner. Satan does not want us to do this, so he's using everything he can to thwart what God wants to do through streams. Some of the weapons of the world, the heathen, those non-believers, that they use against us is wealth, political position, military power, authority, from police officers and stuff. And I heard a story the other day about a military man who had his Bible on his desk. He was a captain, or he is a captain, in the U.S. Army, and he was told to remove the Bible from his desk. And he obeyed, he removed it, but there was a Muslim officer that had the Quran on his desk, and nothing was said to that individual. Very subtle. Spiritual warfare is real. And what we need to understand is that if we do not know the truth, because there is going to come a time when they're going to take our word from us. They're going to take our phones from us that has the word on. They're going to do that. And if you don't have the word in you, you won't know how to behave. You won't know how to act. Because all the word is reading material. It's not your life. And so we need to understand that when we're operating from a position that is not biblical, we don't have a place to stand. Whether it's in our arguments, whether we're using Matthew 18 as a means in which to rectify and bring together the body of Christ. If we don't know how this is done, the enemy will continue to create fear. Some of these weapons also that the world uses is food to control the masses. Money. Power, influence. These are all real things in there. And if you are consigned, if you already are thinking in a way that I think, I'm already dead. They can't pay for me. There's nothing they could throw in front of me that would cause me to renounce my faith in Jesus Christ. I've seen God do many things. I've heard God say He's going to do things with us. And I see those things happening with us because I'm sold out. You know, I'm bought and paid for. And you have to make that determination because the warfare is going to be stepped up once those doors are open. We have a situation within our church presently. I'm not going to elaborate, but the people that need to know about this situation. And Satan is trying to infiltrate. He's trying to get our minds off of the things that would emotionally cause us to be given into. If we do not know what the Word of God says and how to deal with this infiltration of the enemy, we could be in problems. And it's imperative that we begin to understand that Satan, through gossip, will try to destroy the local church. And if we continue to run about in that, if we're afraid of the truth of it is, and you read Revelations and you see what the end's going to be. You read Daniel, you see what the end is going to be like. You know, if you are not sold out, that it doesn't matter if you have food or water or power or influence and all, it's all going to go away. It's all going to go away. You must have faith. You must have truth. You must walk in righteousness. But most importantly, we need to love. All of us have little idiosyncrasies. But those who are out there who Satan is sending in, not God, but Satan who is trying to take advantage of us, if we don't know what God says about this, if we just impetuously jump in to try to help, that could be a severe wounding to the church and the body of Christ. And so we need to be on our toes about this. The world uses these weapons in order to release the spirits of fear, confusion, and insecurity through creating chaos, making unrealistic promises, threats, trickery, and deception. If any part of our life is caught in that, we need to repent and get clean before God and begin to find out what God says His truth is. Our weapons are much mightier than what the enemy is throwing at us. But he does battle in our minds. And once he conquers our minds, I'm not saying that the war is over. I'm just saying that the battle gets tougher and tougher. Cynicism may protect you from betrayal, but only placing your faith in God will empower you You can be a cynic by faith in something, someone, other than this world system, this government. Remember, the kingdoms of this world are under the power of the evil one, including the government of the United States of America. And we see, those of us who are mature, we see this thing happening, and it's sabotaging people. It's sabotaging their faith. And there's a subtle assault against the Church of Jesus Christ. When the church is accepting homosexuals into the pulpit, when the world is trying to say, and I've had this happen to me, a person came to me and said, who was homosexual, said to me, "Pastor, if I came to your church and asked you to marry me, would you marry me?" I said, "Nope." He goes, "Even threat of going to jail?" I said, "You can see me on the other side of the bars." I said, "I am not going to compromise what God says is evil. He loves you, but he doesn't love your sin. It's perversion." And what we have to understand is this is a systematic attack against the foundations of our forefathers and their faith. To accept a person's sin means it's okay. You condone it. I don't condone anybody's sin. I love them, but I'm going to deal with the sin issue, just like Jesus did. Another step is a willingness to compromise our morality may gain us temporary acceptance with the heathen, but only through permanent and persistent following the Lord of righteousness will gain a victory and find peace that passes all understanding in your heart. It's called being committed to Him and to Him alone. I know it's hard. I know the flesh wants what it wants. But when God says to me, "You know what, you can't have this and you can't have that," and I violate what He says, there are consequences every time for every decision. And we may not see the end result right away. It may take 4, 5, 10, 20 years to manifest. But we have problems. We get into arguments with each other, and that's not where the fight is. We talk about each other. That's not where the fight is. We don't remember what was said about this, but we are angry with each other, but we can't remember what was said. And that's where confusion comes in. And it's all to darken our mind and think evil thoughts against each other. I've even been accused of some things. And I play back the words, the very words that a person has said to me. And my conclusion of what that person has said to me is, "Did you not say this?" "Yeah, I said that. But I didn't mean that." Well, words mean something. If I come to a conclusion based on what you have said to me, and there's no other conclusion, who's the one that's in delusion? Who's the one that's deceptive? That's why we operate with truth. Because there's no deception. There's no lies. There's no pretense. It's just God. Lies and deception will always be exposed by truth to eventually that your sin will be found out and God will expose you for who you are. Now when God exposes us because He's so good that He wants to lead us to repentance. He wants us to change our minds about what is going on in our lives. He does not want us to behave like them any longer. And all of us, myself included, have areas of weakness that He's telling us we need to tighten up. We need to get right. Because as the enemy tries to infiltrate and tries to see where they can come into us, He's going to test the areas of our strength, and he's going to test the areas of our weakness. And he'll never attack us straight on. He'll either attack us from within or from behind, but he will never attack us straight on. It's kind of like, you know, when you see the army of your enemy coming on, you know what's going on. But Sean, you remember one day we were in the Republican Club, and my head is like all this. I'm spinning around. And he goes, "What's going on, Pastor?" And I'm like, "You know, it's just too quiet. And I just don't trust it. The enemy's got something going." And sure enough, it wasn't that week. The week after, something happened. And it was like, you know, I know in my spirit. I just know in my spirit. What we need to do is operate not like the world. We need to take these thoughts and we need to cast them down. But before we can take these thoughts and cast them down, we got to know who's saying what. Do you think that every thought that comes into your mind is God? Do you think it's you? Come on, Miss Holly, I'm following your lead. Do you think it's all the devil? Can't you see those holes in the back of my head? And I said last week that one of the biggest areas that we need to learn is to discern. You know, there are people that come to us who are not who they say they are and behave kind of like Christians. And we say, well, they're babes in Christ. Unless I'm there and they've made a commitment to Jesus Christ, or you're there and made a confession of following after Jesus Christ. I don't know. How are we supposed to look at them? How are we supposed to judge? And we are to judge. We're to judge by the fruit. And when people have bad fruit, what did Jesus say? A bad tree can't produce good fruit. It's impossible. And a good tree can't produce bad fruit. We're to cut it down at the roots. And when Satan is filling our minds with a whole bunch of junk, and he does it through newspapers, he does it through the TV sets, he does it through music, he does it through everything. And I've had conversations with young Christians saying, "Man, this band is a bomb. You know, it's really good. It's all gospel." And it's like all this screaming and stuff is going on. And I'm like, does it line up with the Word of God? Well, what do you mean? Do you see screaming and rant and raving and mosh pits and all this other nonsense in here? Well, you know, they're trying to reach the other people. Now, I didn't see Jesus compromise reaching people with a whole bunch of other stuff. He was who he was, a man of peace. That is our barometer. That is our pendulum. If it doesn't generate peace, we need to be very careful with it. I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying be careful. Discern. Because how you think is how you're going to live. That's the bottom line. Now let's face it. Every Christian is not superstars. They're not, you know, they don't have their minds wired in such a way that 24/7 they're all God. Nobody does. I don't care how spiritual you are. But some Christians have more problems with their minds than others do. They think on things and they believe certain things, not because it's true, but because someone else says. They take the word of somebody else over the word of God. It's sad. when we validate a person over God, the reason for it is because we're lazy. We don't want to know what God says because that requires some of our time. Our time to play video games, our time to go out with our friends, our time to party, our time to work a little bit of overtime. A disciple of Jesus Christ is a disciplined one. How disciplined are you in your foundations? Do you know what God wants for you? Do you know what He says about you? Do you know what He's talking about? Because when you start speaking like the heathen, you're releasing fear. You're releasing. You are releasing. Not God, not Satan, you. Because it's not truth. Truth releases peace, joy, gentleness, faithfulness. And it creates it within your own person. But when we're speaking as the heathen speaks, and there's no basis of it, there's no biblical basis for it, we're saying what they're saying as true. And we don't realize that we're speaking lies, which are spirits of deception. We become fearful and insecure because we know our position is invalidated. It's not safe. We're on shaky ground. But yet, that's where I prefer to be. I met a young lady the other day, and I hadn't seen her in a while, and I went up to greet her, and I said, "Man, why are you so nervous?" Why are you so nervous? Well, it was really kind of comical, but I knew in my spirit that there was some things just not right. She's a believer. And we'll talk. Give her direction. But we need to develop this discernment. What is discernment? What is discernment? Discernment is the ability to know truth from a lie. So know good from evil. And if you haven't discerned or haven't developed this discernment, you need to develop it. It's imperative. Men, it is imperative because if you don't develop it, your kids are going to lie right through your teeth. And my kids, they try. They tried. But God. And I could tell you story after story after story. And Jessie would learn from her brother's mistakes and not go there. Well, yeah. That is a problem for my kids. Well, I know some stuff that's going on in people's lives that they don't even know is going on. That doesn't mean I love them any less. It just means that, you know what? I'm in tune with God. I'm just in tune. Doesn't mean I got my life right, but what it means is that we're at the 2-minute warning and we're not going to make it. Maybe not this week. Maybe next week. Yeah. And this is just preliminary. I haven't really gotten into the message yet. I'm just sensing what God's doing in here. When we operate from truth, there is a distinction between a believer who operates from truth and a make-believer. James 1 says that we should be slow to speak but quick to hear. A make-believer is real fast to tell you everything, you know, so they can confuse you. They can fill your head with fear. And how many of us, we've been in places where we've talked to people and it's like we come walking away from it and it's like, what just happened? Have you ever had that? Nikki knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. I get that a lot. And I have to put my discernment radar on. It's like, God, what are you trying to show me here? What is going on? How does this line up or not line up with you? And I may probe a little bit to get clarity, which I know clarity is not going to come from the individual because they've got something to hide. And then God will speak to me about this. And it's like, okay. But he hasn't released me to confront it. He wants me to develop more and more discernment. Okay? Through his spirit. That's how I hear him. That's how I know things. That's how you know things. We're to judge all things as spiritual people. Judging is discerning what's going on. But we are not, hear me carefully, we are not to be judgmental. There is a distinction between being able to discern what's going on and being judgmental. That is not to be found in the body of Christ. Okay? And it all starts in how we think. It all starts in what is going on through here. Do we want to continue or do we want to call it quits, guys? I'll leave it to you. Obviously, God wants us to go forward, but I'll leave it up to you. Is this good? Is this making you guys think? Are you stunned? We'll continue on. Let's talk about our thought life. How many of us give a lot of thought about what we think? Okay? We should. We should think about what's going on in the gray matter in here. We should think about what we're thinking on. That's not to say that the things that are going on in our lives out there aren't important, but God is the answer to every one of them. He has a way of directing us to keep us moving in the direction. He has a way in which He wants us to start thinking. And part of the way we think, I just judge by the way you live. Now, I don't say anything because you have that right to live the way you live. But I also have the right to teach you what God says. And then it's up to you. It's all up to you. But Satan, where's Dana Garvey? Satan! Satan wants to train your minds also. God wants to train you into thinking about holiness, purity, righteousness, good thoughts, pure thoughts, holy thoughts. But simultaneously, Satan wants us to keep our mind filled with evil thoughts. Because when we have evil thoughts, we speak evil. And we don't even realize it. We speak words of death, not words of life. James says, in the tongue is the power of life and death. If we don't realize what we're speaking, and the power of the tongue is the creative power of our heart, when we speak words, they will happen. They will become true. Job said, that which I have feared has now come upon me. He spoke this into reality, and then it became a reality. I asked this question the other day. I said, is a thought powerful? Becky, I asked you. What was your response?
My thought, yes.
What's the truth?
Yes.
She's absolutely correct. Why? Okay. She's almost right. A thought is just a thought when it enters into our minds. And part of discerning this thought is, does it line up with God? Okay. If we can distinguish or discern where it originates, we can distinguish and discern what our mind is going to dwell on. When we start thinking on things that is not of God, The thought doesn't have power yet until there's an action. We either speak it into being or we move our body into it. Remember I said God speaks to my spirit to enlighten my mind, to motivate my flesh to do my will. What's wrong there? Do His will. But the truth of how we behave is the first thing I said. Even though He lightens my mind, I don't give life to it. I don't motivate my flesh to do what God is saying. And because I don't do that, what I'm doing is living contrary to the truth. And the longer I live contrary to the truth, the more susceptible I am to be deceived. And the more I'm able to be deceived, do you know what goes on in your mind? Satan is being given permission to erect a stronghold in your mind. And what does this scripture say? It says we need to rip them down, tear them down. Because those thoughts of fear, insecurity, confusion, they're all designed in such a way to imprison you, to shackle you, to imprison you in that stronghold. And there are things in people's lives that keep them from being set free. That's what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. When you go to the cross, you nail that up on a cross, you are set free. But Satan, he wants to take our immaturity and he wants to keep us around the cross when God says, I dealt with that. Now come on, I got something for you to do. Something greater, something more. Something that you never even thought about. No eye has seen or ear heard that God has prepared for them who love Him. And these strongholds, these thoughts, try to exalt themselves above. God can't deliver you. Say stuff like, you're a wicked person. Who's going to like you when they find out what you're really about? When they know what your story is, they're going to drop you like a lead balloon. Nobody can love you. There's nobody in this world that can love you. You're so strange, you might as well end it all right now. Lie after lie after lie, and we let our minds entertain it. What should we be doing? What's he say? You're absolutely right. I've known you even before you were in your mother's womb. That goes into predestination. That's a theology that, my theology rattles a lot of cages on that. If God knew me before, and He sees what has happened to me, don't you think His plans are for me to succeed? To prosper me? That I am the apple of His eye and so are you. You're a precious jewel, gem. I'm just changing words because I'm not a copycat. And if you don't know what He says about you, you're going to believe this and you're going to dwell on it. The fact of the matter is that, you know what, He wants to paralyze you from advancing the cause of Jesus Christ. You are a threat that He is designed to eliminate by subduing you in your mind. Jen was filled with fear the first time we went to Main Street. And I said to her, it'll be good. It'll be fine. And I know you were a little nervous. But she's turned that nervousness into going to Guatemala. Sharing her testimony. She is a warrior. A Xena warrior. For Christ. The cause of Christ. And I know your mind was flooded with a whole bunch of nonsense. Because Satan deals with the unknown. God deals with the known. He knows everything from beginning to end. Isn't that a better position to operate from? He knows. If he's known you before you even became you, and then he created you in your mother's womb, and he has plans that he wants to lay on you, he wants to bless you, why don't we let him bless him? Because we don't want to do what he says to do. There is a condition to the promises. And every condition is to make you stronger in him. Satan wants to keep you there. John 10:27. We know this scripture. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus knows you. But it's imperative that we know his voice. In these days that we're going into, it is going to be treacherous. It is going to be so dangerous that if we don't discern his voice, we are walking a minefield that we could step on a mine and blow our lives up, disqualify us. God says he lifts us up above that. Don't you want to be in the palm of his hand? Be lifted up in such a way that he exalts you. That's what he wants to do. You're highly exalted. He is motivated to bless you, even when you don't want to be blessed. That's where Jesus said, you know, I cause the blessings to come on the just and unjust. He'll bless you no matter what. But he's got a profound difference for those who walk in his ways than he does in those who pretend they walk in his ways. And Satan wants to keep you pretending. Satan wants to keep you to ensnare you with a religious spirit. And we're going to talk about that in days ahead. We're going to talk about Jezebel's eunuchs and how they operate within the church. Have you ever given thought about this? Or is it just, well, it's just me and Jesus, we're at the cross, and, you know, I thank God he died for me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior. I like the puke. He is wonderful, but he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has atoned for us, and the King expects us to grow up, to become the church, not go to church, but become the church. And it's so gratifying for me to watch you do that. That's why John 13:35 is so essential and is the core of this ministry. What does that say? Who could quote that scripture? Not besides Holly. It's kind of like Alicia. She knows the answers. God bless her. Who knows that scripture? Come on, Sean. Shout it out. Amen. The question is, are you the disciple and do you love his people? Satan's design is to keep you not loving and become unlovable, which is a lie. God's thoughts and words are, you are lovable. I love you with an endless love. And I want you to begin to start integrating yourself with the people to be loved even more. If we don't know his word, if we are not being trained by the Holy Spirit to think good thoughts, Philippians 4:9, whatever's good, whatever's perfect, whatever's 4:8, excuse me, thank you. Think on these things. If you're thinking about paying the taxes, I just go to God and say, this is your deal, God. You got to make it happen. 2 days later, we get an email. The resolution is going to be signed. Basically, me going to the meeting is just a thank you for doing this. That's how our Father works. I give it to Him. I don't worry about it. I'm not always like that. I got things going on in my life that, you know what, I have to get into the Word. I have to, you know, shore up the foundation. Some shaky ground. The devil wants to consume your mind with negative things to compromise your walk. If he can get you to compromise your walk, you're out of the game. Paul says, I run this race. This is a race that God says, you've already won. All you got to do is keep running. Run to the end. You've already won. Every one of you is a winner in here. Every one of you. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, we're a winner. Do you believe that you're a winner? Because that's what He says you are. When He says you're the apple of His eye, He sees what you're doing. He's better than Santa Claus. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or good, but be good for Jesus' sake. I changed the words. I've changed the song, but I keep that tune going on and on. The devil wants us to think on lowly things, human things. He wants us to think about carnal things. He wants us to think about our paychecks, our next meal. If this person likes me, what am I too fat? Am I too thin? Do I have too much hair or not enough hair? Is my clothes right or not right? Does this person love me or doesn't love me? Does this person talk about me or doesn't talk about me? Who cares? Who cares? The only thing I care about is what God says. Now mind you, I'm not super Christian. There's no S on my chest. You know, some of the words people say hurt and sting. And I'm sure it hurts and stings you too. But you know what? I always go back and say, God, what do you say? What do you say about this? What do you say about me? Satan wants to consume us with so much negativity that we become ensnared, shackled by these spirits of fear, confusion, insecurity. You know, rejection is the biggest problem in the body of Christ. We're afraid to be rejected by our brothers and sisters. I'm here to tell you, you could do whatever you want, but we're not going to reject you. But we are going to tell you that what you're doing is wrong. We're not going to reject you. God didn't reject you because He tells me in the Word that, you know, some of you were liars and some of you were thieves and some of you did this and some of you did that. Of which, that's what you were. And now you're a believer in Jesus Christ. The past is the past. Don't let Satan fill your mind up with a bunch of stuff that's not God. God has the perfect person for you if you wait for Him. I always tell people, what does God say? Don't I? What's God say? If you can't give me an answer, you see, I already know what the answer is. I ask God. I just want to see if you know the answer. Because that tells me a volume of what your relationship to God is all about. Shouldn't matter. Anytime I ask you, you should be able to give me a ready answer. You should be able to give a ready answer to anybody at any time as to what and who you believe in. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to obey man when it comes to sharing your faith. You don't have to knuckle under the pressure of Satan when he says you got to close your Bible. No, you do not. You'd be like the Apostle Peter and John. Say, is it better for me to obey God or to man? It's better for me to obey God. Because ultimately, man is going to answer to God. You just have the inside track to him. Once we have our minds renewed, Romans 12:2, and we know what the will of God is for our lives, and we're moving as one man, as the church, something wonderful happens. We begin to start telling people what God's doing. We begin to start looking at what God wants to do. You see, the purpose of coming here to church isn't for us to just sing great songs, and we have a lot of fun in doing that. Is it just for us to come and party down and blow out candles? Although we're going to do that too. I'm down with that, people. You know, I'm looking at that sugar-free cake over there. You know, there's no sugar in it in Jesus' name. See, the devil's trying to lie to me about the facts, but the truth is, God says. Am I being extra biblical here? Okay. Well, see, you guys know a little bit of the word. Thank you. Thank you very much. Spiritual discernment is probably the key weapon that we have to develop before we start using anything. Because when we know how to pray through spiritual discernment, we know how to pray for each other. When we develop spiritual discernment, we will be able to know what the truth is, not the lie. We wouldn't be given into fear, spirits of confusion, insecurity, rejection. We will become secure in who we are in Him and what He says. Amen? Spiritual discernment must be utilized in these days and must be developed each and every day. According to Romans 12:2, Hebrews 4:12. For us to have spiritual discernment will enable us to pray for those who have not come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have not come into the light yet of the gospel. You are now entering into the light of the gospel. You should be set free from the spirits of fear. How do you do that? By being in God's word, saying what God says, believing what He says is true, and then watch Him manifest it. Amen? You have the power to create your situation. Don't be like Job and say, that which I feared. You have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Winston Churchill got it wrong. He says, the only thing we need to fear is fear itself. Liar. We had nothing to fear. Amen. When we set our sights on truth and we assemble our lives in truth, we do it God's way, fear can't ensnare us, insecurity can't shake us, confusion can't darken our minds because it's filled with light, it'll expose it. No matter what anybody says, no matter how the enemy tries to come against us, we will have our minds ready for war, according to Romans 8 and 7. When we line up with what God says, and Paul says, when our obedience, that's all he's talking about, is our obedience, then we can go out and share with them that are disobedient to make their obedience complete. Amen? Father, we just thank you for your word, God. We thank you, God, that your people are hungry and thirsty, Lord. This spiritual battle is real. I ask that you enlighten their minds, God, to show them the realities. We're just starting to take steps, Lord, to learn about this. Learn how it's being waged against us, even as we speak right now, God. I pray against those spirits of fear, insecurity, injustice, rejection, I bind them, God. I bind the spirits of confusion and lying tongues, God. I bind them in Jesus' name. And I release Your Spirit upon Your people today, God. To fill Your people's minds with good things, wholesome things, pure things. And that Your Spirit, Holy Spirit, would just motivate them to walk in those ways. That we would walk circumspectly before You and humbly in the truth and the light that You give to us. God, cause Streams, God, to not be a pretentious church, not an immature church, but a radical church for You, God. A church that is mature and going into the highways and byways to compel people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, we are desirous to be this apostolic church. Apostolic warriors, apostolic intercessors, Lord. Apostolic ministries, God. To glorify Your name, to take this community, to weld our hearts together with other churches, God, to have those things, God, I just cast down those walls that would divide us, God. Those areas of doctrine, God, that doesn't matter. What matters is that we move in the power and the might of Your Spirit. God, as we go forward, I pray, Lord, that Your people would be changed a little bit more to glorify You, God, in these days to come. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.